Welcome back to the podcast intensive. This is session three. I am your host, your mentor, your guide in podcasting, Jonathan Rivera, executive producer at the Podcast Factory. And I just want to welcome you folks here who are with me live. Thanks for taking time out of your busy day to be here. And for those of you that are listening to the recording, same thing goes for you. Thanks for staying consistent. Thanks for making it to the third one of these. I know I've thrown a lot of information your way, and I just hope that you're absorbing it. And I recommend that you go back through this more than once, because the first time you go through, you're just kind of listening and just kind of maybe getting your mind blown a little bit. The second time you go through, you'll pick up more stuff that you can use. And if you go through it a third time, which I recommend, that's when you really start seeing how all these pieces fit together. And I'm excited that you're here. I'm sure you're excited too, because today we're going to talk about making dough with your show. I've been fighting the good fight against podcasters being broke, because I meet so many people out there that call themselves podcasters and they're not making any money. And today I'm going to give you some simple ways to make money with your show. Heck, even make money if you don't have a show. Make money even if you don't have a product. I'm just going to show you some very simple concepts that you can use so you can start making some dough. And I know you'll leave here happier today when you start seeing how easy this could be. So let's jump into this. Why podcasts fail, my favorite starting point on all this stuff. Equipment is expensive. Audio engineers are expensive if you decide to outsource it. Hosting is expensive. Frankly, I don't think hosting is expensive, but I've heard this from other people. And so that's why today we're working on making dough with your show, so that all this stuff doesn't look like expenses to you, but rather an investment which you are going to get a return on. That's the way I want you to approach everything, is the ROI mindset, the investor mindset. No, you're not going to make your money back immediately, but look at the money you put in as an investment that you want to make a return on, so that you're playing this long game with me. Quick housekeeping. So this is the third lesson in the series, and if you've been following, you should see how all the pieces fit together. In the first one, we talked about attracting your ideal listeners, how to track down your listeners like the FBI hunt serial killers, why you need to hang out at the water cooler, and how being like Snow White will make you more interesting. In the second session, we talked about the linchpin to your success, how you can ethically steal other people's audiences, and how to leverage iTunes to grow your audience. And today we are going to talk more about some money stuff. So looking forward to that. But really, all of these pieces fit together. You got to start at the beginning. You got to start at number one with attracting your listeners, then go to number two, building your audience, and then you can start using the stuff we are going to talk about today. You already know this. If you've been here for all three, this is no frills. It's me, a mind map, and my hundreds of, maybe at this point it's thousands of hours of experience in the podcasting world and the online business world, and being an entrepreneur in general, because it's been now, I realize it's been 12 years that I've been an entrepreneur. And I'm going to share with you the story of how I left my job life in just a little bit. But this is no frills, me talking, this little mind map here, and just getting points across that you can use. We've only got an hour, and I'm actually going to try to keep this one just a little bit shorter. So I've got a commitment after this, and I'm Just want to make sure that I get everything in. So maybe I'll talk faster. I don't know. Hopefully you can keep up. If not, listen to it three times, right? So we only have an hour, which means I'm not going to be able to take questions here. If you have questions, just send them to me via email, jonathan@thepodcastfactory.com. Send your questions there. I will answer them. People have been sending me questions and I take some time out to answer them. And usually, could be a little irritating too. Usually I end up asking you more questions because I need more clarification. And we couldn't do that here or else it would just get off track. So that's why I ask you to email me your questions, jonathan@thepodcastfactory.com. Now, one thing that's going to be maybe a little bit different on this one is that I'm really going to share my stories with you. In the other episodes, you've gotten stories from that I've shared from other people. You've gotten fairy tale stories. You've gotten all kinds of different stories. Today is a little more personal for me. And the reason why I'm doing this is because I want to share from my experience, from what I've been through, because there's so many people out there that will share what they've heard and what they've read and what they've seen other people do. I don't want to do that. I want to share the things that I have done that are working and that you can use too. So I think a lot of the stories, most of the stories are going to be with me involved here. Personal stories shared with you. So be ready for that. Now, we're going to jump into this. Let me take a quick sip of coffee. I'll let you settle in, get your pens and pads ready to start writing things down, and then we'll jump into this. Here we go. So today we're going to talk about how to start your show with no money down. I'll explain that more in a little bit. Second, we'll talk about the obvious Adams approach to making moolah. And last but not least, we'll talk about making dough even if you don't have a product. So let's dive in here. You guys ever hear of Carlton Sheets? So he is not, I don't even think he's still doing this out there, but Carlton Sheets was one of those guys that had the late night 3 a.m. infomercials where he talked about buying houses, no money down. Buy houses, no money down. You don't need any money. And it was a whole 30-minute infomercial for his course. It was an info product, binders and booklets and CDs. And he had people coming on, wow, I bought my first house with no money down. And wow, I saw this. And it really resonated with me because I hated my job. I was an electrician. I was working long hours in the hot Florida sun, sweating my butt off, miserable as could be, couldn't stand working for the man. Ugh, I just think about those days and I shudder. Wasn't a good time. And I was looking for any way out of that. And I knew that real estate was a realistic way for me to get out of it. So when I saw this Carlton Sheets infomercial for his product, I think it was around $300-$400. And at the time, that was a lot of money to me. And I'm like, oh my God, that's like a week's pay. Can I do this? But I did it. I took the risk and I did it. I bought the product. I got it home, binders, really, compared to most of the info products today, it's a really well put together product. And I read it, went through it, put it down, and went back to work. Oh, man. But it was about 2 years till I did anything with it. And I finally got fed up, like I said, 2 years later, and I decided, hey, I can't stand my job anymore. I can't take these foremen anymore. I can't take these hours anymore. I got to do something different. I decided to jump into real estate, got my real estate license. My intention was always to buy real estate and become an investor. But I figured if I had my license, I could also act as an agent until I found the deals that I was going to purchase, which is exactly what I did. But the funny part about the no money down thing, it sounds so sexy and it sounds irresistible, and it is. The funny part about the no money down thing was that in reality, you need money to get deals, but it doesn't always have to be your own money. So bringing in partners, trading a car or a boat, really just using your creativity to figure out how you could solve people's problems. And that's the main thing in real estate investing. And I think that's really the main thing in sales overall, is looking for people's motivation, finding out what they need most, and then figuring out if you can give that to them. And that was what was so fun about real estate investing, is you could get creative, trade properties, trade cars, exchange a note as a down payment, all this crazy stuff, but you still needed money to get started. Didn't always have to be your own. As long as you knew what the person's motivation was, you could strike a deal if you met their motivation and their needs. So that's giving people what they want. And here we go, more personal stories. So I want to talk to you a little bit about how I launched the Making Agents Rich show. And if you don't know, the Making Agents Rich show was the first show on the Podcast Factory Network. And I had done podcasts before that. I had done shows before that, done almost 100 episodes between two other shows. Both shows failed miserably, didn't make me any money, sucked time out of my life. And really, I didn't want to have anything to do with podcasts anymore. And I was hanging out with my buddy, Darren. We did some work together, did some business together, and he had me come in as a guest trainer on a group coaching that he was doing. And what I realized, and what he realized, was that people in the group, these were all real estate agents all over the country, they were having the same freaking problem. They were all having trouble with, most of them were dealing with buyers, and they were having problems because they were getting outbid on houses, the inventory was low, and really times were tough for them, and they just didn't know what to do. And so around that time, Darren was telling me, we need to start a podcast again. We need to start a podcast. And I was like, no, we don't. No, we don't. Not into it. And the light bulb went off. In the group coaching program, all these agents were having the same problem. They were getting outbid on offers. They were dealing with buyers. There was low inventory. So I said to Darren, hey, listen, here's what we're going to do. You want to start a podcast? I don't really, but here's what we'll do. Everybody in the program here seems to really need some help getting listings. So what we're going to do is we're going to create a listings product, something to help them get listings. And if people buy this product and they like this product and we make some money, great. We'll take that money and we'll start a new podcast. So I already knew that podcasting was expensive. It was either going to be a lot of my time or a lot of my money. So I wanted to make sure it was funded before I got into it. And he agreed to it. And it was almost like, it was almost too easy. Everybody in the group had the same problem. We offered them the solution in the form of a product called the Seller Getter. And they bought it. They bought version one of the Seller Getter. And let me tell you how simple this was. All that we did for version one was a workshop and a Facebook group. So we were going to do, how many did we do? I think we did 5 sessions. So that's what we sold. Hey, it's going to be five sessions. They were on an audio conference line, so a call-in line. And then we're going to have a Facebook group for accountability and to share stuff. And that was version one of the Seller Getter. We made enough to fund the first 10 Making Agents Rich shows. And that was it. That's where we started. And just to go a little further ahead, we did so well on that. By about show 10, we offered it again as we were building the podcast list, and we made even more sales. So we had a version 2, or like a version 1.1 and a version 1.2, and we kept offering iterations of that same product. Then we had a members area and a forum and accountability calls, all kinds of stuff, landing page software, postcard software. But it all started with finding a pain point in our market and solving that for them. And look, it wasn't really very creative. Workshops and a Facebook group, anybody can do that. And the reason I'm showing you that is because if you've done everything else, like we talked about, especially in session one, where you're tracking down your listeners, like the FBI tracks serial killers, you're getting to know everything that they're into, you're getting to know their pains, the water cooler stuff where you get to listen to their conversations. This should be easy for you. This is like a slam dunk for you if you've done the other work first. So that was the first show on the Podcast Factory Network. And when I say no money down, I didn't take any money out of my pocket. Darren didn't take any money out of his pocket. All we did was come up with a concept. We sold that concept, and then we funded this show. Pretty simple, huh? So what do you need to make this happen? All you need is two things. You need a list, which we talked about in session number 2, when we talked about building your audience. The linchpin to your success is your email list. So you have to have an email list. And the other part is you need to have a problem to solve. Like I said, you did everything from session 1, then you should have a list of problems to solve. And all you have to think about is, which problem am I going to solve first? That's simple. And I hear you guys, but I don't have a list. But I don't have a product. Look, if you don't have a list, you should stop watching this video or listening to this audio and go back to the first one. Or actually, go back to the first one, or at least go back to building your audience. You have to have a list. This is why I won't take any clients at the Podcast Factory who do not have a list, because it's just pointless. There's other stuff you could be doing with your time. And frankly, there's other stuff I could be doing with my time too than messing with people who don't have a list. And the other thing about not having a product, I just showed you how we made a product by just solving a problem and then adding some accountability into it. But we're going to talk more as we get deeper into this today about how to solve your product problem. So really, really quick summary. Find a problem, solve a problem, fund your show. Sure, it seems like I'm oversimplifying, but it really is just that simple. If you've done the other steps, that's all it is. Find a problem, solve a problem. When you solve the problem, you sell that, and then you fund your show. You don't have to overthink it. All right, so that's the Carlton Sheets. Now, Obvious Adams. Let's close some of this down. Have you ever heard of Obvious Adams? I was introduced to it by my buddy Ben Settle. I think he told me about it in one of his emails or something like that. And it's a really short book. It was first published in 1916, so it's public domain now. And you can probably find it for free with a little Google searching. Or you can go to Amazon and get a copy for 99 cents or so. It's a really quick read. It's real easy. And the point to it, if you don't want to spend the time reading it, although I highly recommend you read it. And in fact, I've read this book several times. And every time I go through it, I'm like, I think I'm overcomplicating things. But it's a great book. It's something that you should have in your collection, and it's something that you should read every year. The point is, sometimes the best idea is the obvious one, the one that's right under your nose, the one that seems like it's too damn simple. So I'll give you an example, another example from my life. I told you that I am in real estate. I actually still am in real estate. I still have rentals. I am a landlord. And we were doing some work at our apartments, and we wanted to paint the doors because all the doors were looking worn down, and we weren't going to paint the buildings, but we wanted to paint the doors to kind of spruce the place up. And there was a problem. Sure, painting the doors, that's simple, but all the doors had the numbers on it. And so if we paint the doors and scrape off the numbers, then we're not going to have any apartment numbers in the complex. That could be a problem. And my guy that works over there, the on-site manager, he starts coming up with all these solutions, lighted signs, nail up numbers, and just a whole host of different things. And I'm thinking, whoa, that's too much work because we're going to be painting the buildings in the future, and I don't want to make that investment just yet. I'd rather put up the numbers later. And he just kept looking for solutions. And one day I looked up when I went over there to visit, and someone had just printed up a number and stuck it in their window right from their printer. I'm like, damn, that's just too easy. That's too obvious, and that solves our problem. And we were sitting on this problem for a couple weeks, and I told him, hey, look, Jason, let's just print numbers like they did and put them in everybody's windows because the window's right by the door. That solves our problem. It's a really quick fix, and it should have been the obvious answer for us, but it just didn't seem so obvious at the time. And the reason I'm telling you that is because you have these things going on in your business, in your life, in your world, where there's a really obvious answer to your problem, and you might overlook it because it seems too simple. You guys know who Dan Kennedy is? Really well-respected direct marketing expert. Dan Kennedy says, money is attracted to speed. If you haven't read his books, you got to read them. He's got this whole No BS series. I've got a bunch of them here. I've read them all multiple times. No BS marketing, No BS sales letter, all kinds of good stuff. If you haven't read them, you have to. This is more required reading that I'm giving you. But Dan Kennedy says money is attracted to speed. And when you move fast, it decreases your drag. So, keeping things simple is a way to make sure that you move faster so that you're decreasing the drag. Think about it. Less drag, you can get more done. So, check this out. I'm going to give you another example here from some work that I did with Ben Settle. It's called the library card. It's one of those obvious things that I overlooked. So Ben had this stupid idea, and I'm telling you, when he said it to me, I'm like, that's stupid. That'll never work. Are you kidding me? So his idea was simple. We do transcripts for all our shows at the Podcast Factory. It's just part of the factory. It's the way it works. And Ben kept thinking about those transcripts, and he says, you know, I think we could use those transcripts for opt-ins. I'm thinking, you're dumb, man. That would never work. Nobody wants transcripts. In fact, you talk to most people out there in the podcasting world, and they'll tell you transcripts are a waste of time. Nobody needs transcripts. In fact, I would dare to say that 90% of the podcasters out there do not have transcripts. And to me, I think that's a joke. I think that's a crime, in fact. But Ben said, hey, we can use a transcript for opt-ins. And I'm like, no, we can't. Get out of here. But let's try it anyways. I don't mind being wrong, but I was really hoping to be right. Anyways, we used the transcript as the opt-in bribe. And you know what? We were getting opt-ins. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And this doesn't work in all markets. This is mainly in markets where you have heavy readers, which copywriting is one of those markets. But it worked. I was surprised and tickled because it actually worked and we were getting opt-ins to our Ben Settle Show list. So I was happy about that. But I took that idea and I tweaked it. I added an update to it because I thought it was working good. But I wanted to make it work better. So I updated the idea to instead of giving away the transcripts for an opt-in, let's give away this week's transcript. So today, show 100 is playing on iTunes. You opt in, you get the transcript for show 100. But what if today you're listening to show number 42, and you opt in, you still get show 100. And you know what happens? Very interesting thing. When people opt in for that transcript and they are listening to an older show and they get the newer show, they almost always email you. Hey, thanks for the transcript. I'm listening to this show, and I was wondering if you could just get me that transcript because that's the one I want. And that's where we realized the big opportunity. That was where we figured out the transcript library. So what we did was we made an offer. At first, actually, we started doing it as a bonus to other products, but then it became its own product. How do you get the other transcripts? Well, you buy your library card. We kept the price really low. It was like a $20 product at the time. I think it's 40 bucks now, but you buy access to all the rest of the transcripts. So we have 100 transcripts there. You only got today's transcript and you want the other 99, 20 bucks, 30 bucks, whatever. It works. And the more shows that you have, the more valuable it becomes to sell that library card. And most people doing podcast shows out there think transcripts are not valuable. And here you just got a model to use transcripts not only to get opt-ins, but to use as a paid product. No extra thinking, no extra work should be a part of your flow. It's a part of our flow with all our clients. You come work with the Podcast Factory and you record a show. It goes into post-production. Once that finished show comes out, it goes to transcripts. Then we take transcripts and the show along with the write-up and post it. That's just the way the factory works. And if you want to make life good for yourself, you should set up your whole system like a factory. Producing shows. It's easy for me to say now that we've done so many shows, but it's going to make your life a whole lot easier. So let's collapse some of this. But I don't have a show yet. That, my friend, is okay. So let me give you a little twist on this. And I learned this from Michael Senoff, and actually other people have said the same thing, but if you don't have a show yet, you could easily use this same model to build your first product and fund your show the no money down way. And so how does that look? Basically, you find yourself an expert in your niche. You interview that expert. You take the interview. You get it transcribed. Now you have a transcript and an audio interview. And you turn that into a low-dollar product. Easily, $27, $19, anything like that is an easy sell. Write a quick little sales letter. And if you have already got an email list, you don't even really need much of a sales letter. You just write some emails about it. Sell that and get ready to start funding your show. Just that simple. So quick summary, record an audio, get a transcript, sell it. Ta-da! Obvious Adam's way to building products. So check this out. I know that this is too easy. I want more complicated things. I want more stuff. So check this out. I want to give you a bonus. Write this down. Make sure you use this. I recorded a 23-minute audio, had it transcribed, and it's called the 11 Insider Secrets to Make Money Podcasting. All right. So in that audio, I give you 11 different ways to make money with your podcast. Now, you've already heard a couple of them here, but there are more on that report. So you can grab it right now or later after we're done here. Just go to thepodcastfactory.com/MMP, like Make Money Podcasting. thepodcastfactory.com/MMP to grab that report on the 11 insider secrets to making money podcasting. Little gift for you, because if this stuff's too simple, maybe you want some other ideas. I got them for you inside that report. You're welcome. All right, we're doing good here. We're doing real good. So, next one. What if you have no product? Well, geez, I just gave you a bunch of different ways to build products, but what if you have no product and no time to build a product? What do you do then? The solution? Affiliate marketing. Oh, that's so obvious. Yes, we're playing the obvious game today. But the good part about affiliate stuff is that you don't really have anything to create. And if you've already done everything else that we've talked about in the first two sessions, you have your audience, you have your email list, and you're able to promote. If nothing else, you're able to write some emails and promote an offer. Now, I want to share with you, but only if you're interested. Actually, do I want to share this with you? I keep going back and forth. I know that Ben Settle is going to be sharing this in his March email players issue. So maybe I should just leave this hanging. But how would you like to know how Ben and I did an affiliate sale where we did a $28 EPC? And if you don't know what EPC is, it's earnings per click, meaning every click we sent to this offer was worth $28. Look it up. This is like crazy numbers here. Most offers are lucky to get $2 or $3, and we were doing $28 earning per click. So how would you like to know how we did that? Of course you want to know, and I'm going to share that with you. So I don't know if you've heard of Ken McCarthy. He is known as the godfather of internet marketing. He is the guy that trained people like Perry Marshall before Perry Marshall was the AdWords guy or the 80-20 guy. He was learning from Ken McCarthy. Ken was selling stuff on the internet before we all had internet in weird old chat rooms. And he's an old timer. He is not fancy or cool or ninja or anything like that. In fact, these days, hardly anybody knows him. But he's got this product, which Ben knew the product. I hadn't seen it yet, but it was a $2,000 copywriting product, which is pretty expensive. And he wanted to promote it. Now, the tough part here is that not as many people know Ken McCarthy, and the product was nothing ninja, nothing groundbreaking. It was just hardcore essentials, like the stuff that you need, principles, foundational stuff. But it wasn't shiny, bright, shiny object or anything like that. It was just really low key, kind of this is how you sell for real stuff, and expensive to boot, $2,000 product. So we came up with this thing that I'm calling the Ben Settle Blitzkrieg, and I don't know if he likes that name or not, but I like it, so I'm going to use it till he tells me not to. And it's real simple. Check this out. So it starts with an expert interview. What we did is, if you've listened to any of the shows at the Podcast Factory, you'll know that they're usually around 20 minutes. Some of them will go up to 30 minutes. But we were doing a promo for Ken's product. So we invited Ken onto the show and we did a 2-hour interview with him. 2 hours. But here's the thing, we know attention spans don't last that long. It's hard to pay attention to anything for 2 hours. So what we did was we broke it up into four parts. Four 30-minute sessions, which made it a whole lot easier to digest, made it a whole lot more interesting. And then we aired those sessions a day apart. So usually we air our shows on Sunday. We started this on Thursday. So we had a show Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Four shows. We promoted each show with email because we have an email list, and we also promoted the offer. So it's double promotion on the offer. And what we did was we got Ken to agree to give us a discount for that promo. So rather than the product being $2,000, its normal price, for that weekend only, it was $1,000. So we put some scarcity into the mix. Hey, this product's usually $2,000, but right now you can get it for $1,000. And then we emailed every day, posted a show every day. Inside the show, we had calls to action to our affiliate link. Inside all the emails, we had calls to action to our affiliate link. And before you knew it, we had this really, excellent promo. Ken was so impressed with this promo that he actually talked to Ben about licensing it, but it just didn't make sense. It was so personality driven that it wouldn't make sense for other people to use it. But that's the power of combining your podcast or any audio with your email and an expiration date to make an offer. The Ben Settle Blitzkrieg. You might not be happy I'm sharing that, but you're welcome. You are welcome. That's good stuff. I'm sure it's going to come out. I think we're really ahead of most people in the podcast world because they wouldn't know to do this. So there are concerns about affiliate marketing, and I will tell you straight up and down, I am not a fan of being an affiliate because I have gotten burnt in the past. And the main thing is you have to be working with reputable people. Like Ken McCarthy, that dude, he's reputable and he's old school. He paid us with a check, two checks, in fact. But you have to make sure that you choose wisely. You don't want to go with just anybody. You want to go with people who are reputable because if not, you could get burnt. And the other thing that comes up often when we talk about affiliate marketing is what about the customer list? Because we all know an opt-in list is valuable, but a customer list, the folks who have pulled out their credit cards and paid you money, is infinitely more valuable. When you're doing affiliate marketing, you don't necessarily get the customer list. Unless you do this little trick. So what we do is we make sure that we include bonuses on our offer. Whatever offer we're making, we have our own bonuses that we add to the offer. And the way people get their bonuses is by sending us a copy of their receipt. When they send us a copy of their receipt, then they get their bonuses. So what this does is it brings the customer back to you because they want the bonuses, and now you have your list of customers as well. And you, of course, want to make sure that the bonuses are worth coming back for, but this works like a charm. People want everything they paid for, so they'll come back to you, they'll send you a copy of the receipt, boom, you have all their information. And actually, if you're working with a good person, like we did this with Brian Kurtz and Ken McCarthy, and both of them gave us the information, so we didn't have any problem with that. And that's why you want to make sure you pick good people to do affiliate deals with. So in summary, you do an expert interview, break it into a few parts. You have an expiring offer, some sort of special offer that people must take advantage of now. And then you promote it with email and your podcast. Boom. No product necessary. Pretty cool, huh? All right, good. We're coming up on the end of this. We're doing pretty good. So quick summary of what we have covered today. The no money down model to starting a podcast where you should already have your audience, should already have your list. You find a problem, an urgent problem. You solve that problem and sell it to them, and you use that money to fund your show. The obvious Adams approach to building products. This is where I showed you the library card, using transcripts to sell. What? Transcripts are worthless. Well, they are not. The first time we did that with the Ben Settle Show, we had a very small list, probably about 800 people or so, and we sold nearly 200 of those. Yeah, there's not many people that have those kind of numbers. So remember, the answer might be more obvious than you think. One of the most obvious ones is the library card. Number three, we talked about no product, doing affiliate marketing deals with the Ben Settle Blitzkrieg, getting an expert interview, cutting it into four parts, promoting each part to your email list along with a special offer, maybe a discount, maybe a bunch of bonuses that has an expiration date, and using that all to promote an affiliate product and make sales when you don't even have your own product. That's everything for today. I think we did really good for the amount of time that we have here. And really quickly want to just invite you, if it makes sense, look, if you're busy running your business and you want some help implementing your podcast, now this is a lot of stuff to implement. That's what we do at the Podcast Factory. We let you talk into a microphone, and we turn that into a podcast for you. We post it up. We do all the behind the scenes work, help you promote it, help you plan your strategy. If that makes sense for you. And the only way it would make sense for you is if you're running a business that is already making money, that already has customers, email lists that you're in touch with often, and you have money to invest, because this is an ROI play and it ain't cheap to work with me. You know that. Then you can go to thepodcastfactory.com/DIFM, D-I-F-M, do it for me, thepodcastfactory.com/DIFM. There's a video there, and there is a way for you to apply to work with me. Basically, you'll go through, put a small deposit down, take a quick questionnaire. If everything looks good, then we'll schedule a time to get on the phone and chat more about what you're trying to accomplish. And if it makes sense, we'll work together. So that's everything for today. That wraps up the podcast intensive. I thank you for tuning in, and I urge you to take action on what you have found out here today, because the sooner you put it into play, the sooner you will start making profits.